Guys, hitting the button. We're about to be live. Everybody, microphones on. We are live. You are looking live. You are looking live. Make sure that button's connected, yes, to the board. Good. Hit it. We are the 1, 2, 3.
Soar the Losers! Did I beat it?
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports. So I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What's up, everyone? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about the sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. Don't know the who's who's, don't know the what's what's.
Y'all, it is Sizzin. I'm from the North Alpha Male. I live on the west side of Nashville. I can give you my zip code if you need it. And I only have one thing to say, and that is down goes Suey.
Huh? Down goes Suey.
I got something else to say, though, before we get to that.
Go ahead.
So I saw Overton went over to Sizzin's pool this weekend. Overton.
I saw that.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, Matt Overton's a new dad. Like, he's got a baby girl now. He's got married, what, a year ago? He's got a family. And he takes, from the way Sizzin's been explaining this pool to us, I mean, it's dental floss mania. And then he takes the baby out there. So I'm curious, Ray, like, what was it like?
Dude, I mean, it's basically a dentist office on the weekends. I actually had to go to the dentist on Friday and Saturday. So
there we go.
Yeah, dude, there was a lot of floss. I mean, we're talking 200 to 300 people were there. We were at capacity. It was an absolute
200 people?
Easily. I mean, there's two pools, and they're almost Olympic size. So, I mean,
Coach, 200 people, that's like Schlitterbahn. That's Wet and Wild.
That's like Vegas, dude.
Dude, what are you talking about?
Dude, when I was getting him into the entrance, it was almost like rehab. They're like, okay, two point, and I'm like, and a baby, 2.5. Get him in. Yeah, get their key fob. Okay, good. You guys are good. Go. Yeah, and then it's going to even get even crazier than that. But yeah, Overton had such a blast at the dentist's office. He wanted me to schedule him a teeth whitening appointment in the next couple weeks at the dentist's office.
He's scheduling appointments for the baby, too. Baby doesn't have teeth yet, but we need to look at that dental floss.
Dude, anybody that says they know, they don't know. Unless you actually go and sit in the chair at the dentist's office, then you realize why I nicknamed my apartment the dentist's office. And I can't take pictures of it.
I thought I had an idea, but now I'm confused.
Well, I already gave you guys two pictures. The pictures I sent you guys of the floss. I can't just be the creeper guy always taking. Like, literally, girls don't wear anything other than floss nowadays. It's apparently the new style. It's how it is. It's not happening in tropical islands. It's literally happening at my apartment complex. It might as well be called Nashville Music City Dental.
I don't know, Coach. Like, I went to a pool last weekend, and I mean, I didn't see.
Where'd you go?
The Y. Oh.
They got to be tamer there, Coach.
Yeah, there's a lot of kids there, man.
But yeah, it was a blast with Overton. He hit me up, and he goes, "Hey, dude. I mean, 90 degrees with heat index was probably over 100 degrees, and he's trying to find a pool, a little watering hole." And I said, "Dude, swing it by." So he and I didn't even know really that he was bringing the kid, and then he rolls up, him, the wife, the 4-month-old. Dude, it was a blast. People were respectful. We're, you know, obviously there's water beer pong, there's volleyball going on. Everybody stepped aside, all the co-eds, and allowed the baby to have its first swim at 4 months old. It was an awesome moment. But dude, it was great to have Overton at the crib. And then I got freaking Dodd and his wife. I'm like, guys, we try to keep guests it too. I mean, I'm a little too popular for my own good. I'm like, guys, you're gonna get me in trouble here. I can't have 10 people coming over.
What's a water beer pong? Like, what is that?
It's one that floats. It's not as fun. It's a lot better inside because it's a table where you can kind of line it up in the water. You have one person hold it, and then that's all it is. It's a float, but it's water beer pong.
From Overton, pool was incredible. VIP service was better than Vegas. It was packed. Wouldn't call it a Vegas scene, but Sizzin definitely runs the show with that pool. Took the baby in the pool for the first time. Incredible.
And I had a cabana, too, because I was worried about the sun. You know, the kid newborn. Baby hasn't even seen a pool, much less the sun like that intense. So we had the cabana for the baby. And at one point, a couple co-eds went over to the kid and we're rocking him like with the stroller, pushing him back and forth like so the baby would go to sleep. And I think somebody said to Overton, they're like, oh my gosh, are you worried about your baby? There's two co-ed girls up there with dental floss pushing your baby. And he goes, well, I mean, as long as they don't pick her up out of her stroller and run off with her, I mean, sure, they can rock her back and forth. And I'm like, that's a cool dad. I mean, dude's been a dad for 4 months. He's like, I mean, as long as they don't kidnap her, I'm okay.
Lunch? Like, what are you thinking?
I mean, I'm just laughing at Ray talking about them rocking her, worried about them kidnapping. I mean, it sounds like it was a heck of a scene over there at the pool, but I mean,
I will tell you, boys, like, I took my boys to the pool and there was a hot tub, right? And I packed them some root beers in the cooler. And I was like, it was a cool, what do you call that, foreshadowing when you kind of see the future? Mm-hmm. Man, we sit there in the hot tub, and I got my brew dog, and the boys have their root beer, and we're all sitting there, you know, my three boys, and they're sitting there on the other side just enjoying the hot tub. And they got the, how to explain this, they got the cup, you know, right above the water, kind of keeping it up high. Mm-hmm. You know, like spring break where you sit in the hot tub and you got your beer just like right above that water line. They're all holding their root beers like that. And I'm thinking, man, like, look at this, honey. Like, this is going to be us in 20 years. Like, chilling. We're going to go to Aruba, me and the boys. And we're going to hang out in the hot tub. Those root beers are going to be real brew dogs. We're going to be chilling there, talking about life and everything. And dude, it was cool to see. And they're sipping the root beers too. Like, oh, man, I got a little bit of water in my root beer. Like, it's all good, boys. All good.
I guess, yeah, 20 years it works. I was like, 20 years, they won't think it's cool to sit in a hot tub with dad. But 20 years, they'll be past the too cool stage. So I think you're right. They'll be in their mid-20s, so I think you're going to be good.
Well, I say that, Coach, because a family friend of ours posted on Facebook the other day a trip that him and his boys took to the beach. And it looked cool. They're that age. They're like 22 to like 27, and he's got three boys, and they're just, I mean, they're bachelor partying up, like, just them at the beach, like, having this dad and son time, and like, that was inspiring to me.
But no, that's cool that you got that moment. You got a little look into the future of what it's going to be like, just chilling with the boys, you know, talking about chicks and stuff like that. You know, what's new? What's what are you boys doing? What's capping? What is what we're gonna clap that? You know, it's stuff like that. It's
you clapping right now? No, I'm not, Dad. I'm not clapping.
No, I'm capping.
Hey,
capping.
Nephew listened to the last episode and he messaged me and his mom too, and they were dying out loud hearing you two, and I guess me too, talk about the difference between cap and clap. Dude, he was losing it because they use those words at recess every day, and we're like,
Boomer?
Yeah, and we're like, I think it's clap.
And Ray's like, no, it's hat. It's hat.
You're hatting.
No,
you're hatting.
Man, you're hatting, dude.
Guys, okay, enough of the bull crap. I mean, this weekend, there was some crazy, like, I mean, just crazy things that happened. I mean, incredible sports, scary sports,
make
me want to vomit sports. I mean, Eddie, I want to start with you watching soccer on Saturday morning.
And I think I was on here talking about how Saturday mornings suck because there's just no sports. Remember, did I tell you that?
Yeah, and I told you there's soccer.
Right. So then I'm like, all right, I see it on there. There's Denmark versus Finland. Is it Finland? I don't know who it was.
Yes.
But I'm like, all right, let me watch this a little bit. And I, Coach, honestly, I just wish I wouldn't have done that. It ruined about 3 hours of my day because I think it was about 3 hours until I realized what had happened, the result of what had happened. But I'm watching this thing. And I see Denmark, Finland kicked the ball out of bounds. So Denmark guy grabs the ball. He's ready to inbound it. And he throws it in and it hits one of the player's legs. But it looks like the guy's just in the middle of a fall. He's not even like ready to receive the ball. He's just in the middle of a fall and he collapsed just face first in the grass. And I'm just like, well, that's kind of weird. I guess maybe heat exhaustion or whatever. Well, Coach, it goes from that to the announcers being like, this is serious, this is serious. The players are huddling around the player right now. The emergency crew's coming out, and they're coming. And it's the emergency crew walks. They're walking. They're not even running. They're walking with a stretcher and some backpacks. And they make their way to him, and I guess quickly they realize that this is serious. And, I mean, maybe this is a soccer thing or what, Coach, but when we watch football and there's a bad injury, they don't really zoom in to what the player's doing. In this case, they zoom right into what the player's doing, and this guy was unresponsive. They're performing CPR on him, which is the number one indicator that this guy's heart has stopped and he is dying. So I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes, Coach, and that's when I tweeted like, "Oh my gosh, what is happening?"
Yeah, lunch.
Oh, I wasn't watching it, and I'm glad I wasn't watching it because it just. It's one of those moments when you don't want to be watching something because that is just so awful to see. It's scary. It's like, oh. And I read that he was gone. Like, he was done.
Well, and that's my point. Like, once you're seeing them perform CPR on someone, Coach, that means he has no pulse. That means he is not breathing. That means that he is lifeless. So they're trying to resuscitate him back to life, if that's what you say. Like, they're trying to bring him back to life, and all the players are they've formed a circle around him, but they're all facing away, like, we are not watching this. They're all crying. They're all saddened. The coaches are saddened. And, I mean, they, honestly, Coach, the way the broadcast team handled it was, I mean, for us watching around the world, it was kind of good because we saw what was happening, but at the same time, it was pretty tasteless. They stayed on that the entire time, and they kept talking about it. They kept just talking about it. I'm like, I feel like this is a football game. They would say, we got to go to commercial.
Yeah.
And they would come back to the studio. But this broadcast went on for 15 to 20 minutes, Coach, talking about what had happened, showing the replay, zooming into them performing CPR. It was like a movie.
Yeah, and then I saw things like I saw the players going up to his girlfriend who was in the stands. I mean, I guess they've been together for like 10 years. And
she had made her way down.
Right, and they were trying to console her. She was crying. And then the crowd, like they take him out and the match is suspended and the crowd just sat there, just sat there.
They didn't go anywhere.
They didn't know what to do. And they started chanting. They were doing chanting his name, which I thought was, just chill bumps. Like, just weird.
Hey, what's his name, Coach?
Erickson, I believe, is his last name. And I, it was just, and then I saw the studio analyst. They go back to the studio, and the guys are just like, I mean, they had tears in their eyes, and they were talking about, like, I just hope we're in a couple hours just talking about how he's okay. Like, we're supposed to be talking about football, and we're talking, like, and they were just like, they're like, and the guy was just like, I mean, this just breaks my heart. Like, I don't know what to say. And, you know, it was just, it was so weird and eerie. And then you find out a few hours later that he's good. He's alive. He's alert. He's talking. And that they brought him back the first defib. They did one defib, whatever. I don't even know what that means. I guess one shock.
Defibrillator, shock.
And they did one of those, and that's when he came back.
Yeah.
And he was asking about, like, his teammates, how everybody was taking it, and, like, is everybody okay, you know, emotionally. And
I thought that was outstanding because he's, you know, coming back from death, you know, he's back to life. And then he's thinking, like, whoa, 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 you guys must have thought I was dead. Like, how are you doing with all this? Like, you think about it. Like, that is his point of view. Not so much his point of view is like, wow, man, I just died. More it's like, wow, you guys thought I was dead. How are you guys doing with this now?
Yeah, and then I think, I thought it was a, I don't think they should have continued them. I don't think they should have restarted the match.
Yeah,
I think it should have just been over. And they left it up to the players, but the players are in shock, I think, you know, and you're just like, yeah, we'll play. I just think they should have made the decision as a tournament or whatever. Someone higher up just said, no, it's over. Like, we're not playing it.
Like, now, Lunchbox, so they ended up playing, right? And Denmark loses the match.
Right.
Do you think that's not only is it like, was it a good call or whatever, but do you think that's fair that Denmark loses a match, especially after something like that happens?
No, because that's why I don't think they should have played.
Right.
But they lost. It's fair because you continued the game. You put them out there and you said, okay, it's not fair because I think they're more in shock because they're closer to that player than the other team. They don't, you know what I mean? That's their teammate, their brother, their, you know, their friend, their
lover.
The girls. Yeah. Okay. I just think, I don't think it was a good look to play the match no matter what. Even if the players say, yeah, we want to play, you have to, as a higher ups, have to be like, you know what? It's probably not a good idea to play this match. We need to just suspend it and figure it out. Like, I don't know what they would have done protocol wise, like with the tournament, but I just don't think they should have played.
I love, though, that they've stuck with the 2020 name. We can't put 2021 on that Euro.
Well, that was last year's tournament.
Feels like we're living the past back through the pandemic, dude.
We kind of are, Coach. I saw the Sam Houston Bearcats win the national championship like a month ago. We are. It's weird, man.
And the Bearcats are the 2020 national champ. I wonder what I wonder what they put, like when they're going to put the banner up. Will they put 2021 national champ or they will they put 2020?
2020, coach, because that was last year.
That's weird. That's really weird. But yeah, so you have that. I mean, it was just a weird, and I even texted Eddie because I was out running some errands and I hadn't heard anything. I just texted, hey, anything on that dude? Because I didn't want to look. I didn't want to look it up and see that he had passed away. Like, I wanted Eddie, I don't know why, I felt like it was better if Eddie sent it to me than me Googling about this guy. But apparently he's in the hospital. He's responsive. He's okay. And
well, I went to the grocery store. Like, I watched for about an hour afterwards, and there are no updates, just people kind of talking about the experience or whatever. And then I went to the grocery store. I went, and my wife gave me a list, and when I got back, I guess I left the TV on, and when I got back, she said, he's okay. And I'm like, what? Yeah, they just said right now that he's in stable condition, and he's alive and well. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I literally went to the grocery store thinking that I saw someone die on TV. During a soccer match.
Ugh. Were your kids watching?
So they weren't in the room, but they walked in afterwards and they just saw my face. They're like, what? What are they doing? Like, why are they not playing? And then I had to explain everything to them.
Ugh.
I mean, coach, you talk about explaining what a heart attack means and what CPR means. And I mean, you say death to 6 or 7 year olds and they're like, huh? Like he's dead? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, he's not breathing. That's what they're doing right now. And they were watching. Whew. Guys, an emotional start to a Saturday.
Coach, emotional start.
And at that point, the bet's out the window. You're not even worried about the bet anymore, right, Coach?
I honestly didn't even bet on the game. I was just watching it because there was nothing else on TV.
Hey, Saturday mornings will get you like that. Then, straight up dry zone till noon.
No, and then you watch the UFC fights, Eddie. And I mean, the nastiest, the nastiest. Oh, my God. This dude,
Coach, go ahead, but that's crazy how it ended up.
Right.
I saw the highlights. Azarenka?
Okay. No,
no, no. No, 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 not that fight.
Not Adesanya. No, we're not talking about him. We're talking about this dude. I don't even remember his name.
Me either.
Sounds memorable.
He was the Dream. Was he the Dream?
Yeah, the Dream. The Silent Dreams or Dream.
Something like that.
Dude, he goes in and he's fighting this guy from overseas and he just gets him in an arm bar, has his arm just locked up, Ray. Ray. And his arm snaps.
Lunchbox, demonstrate on Ray how he's doing.
Right.
Come in here, coach.
His fingers, like the back of his fingers could now touch his shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, do you understand? So if you put your palm to the sky and you move your palm backwards, the back of his fingers could touch his shoulder because he had snapped his arm. It was flopping around. Like
it wasn't his shoulder, it was his elbow.
I mean, his elbow.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are understanding right now the weird dichotomy of what we just talked about and what we're now talking about.
No.
This is all in the same day.
This is like, what happened this weekend.
We're so drawn to seeing this just as long as they don't die.
No. You didn't want to watch it. You turn your head.
I know the way you're explaining it. I don't even want to hear you explain it.
But I have to explain it so you understand what happened.
Wait, Ray. He's not even done with it. You see the arm do this, and then what happens, Lunch?
It's flopping around like a dead fish, and the guy looks at the guy that hurt the other guy, the guy that has him in the hold, looks at the ref and goes, hey, man, it just broke. Like, you're going to call this? And the ref doesn't call it, so the guy just starts hitting him in the head.
Arm is dangling for at least another 10 seconds.
It's just flopping around like, woo, woo. Like, the guy has no control over his arm because it snapped in half. And so he just, instead, he gets, I don't remember if it was elbows or hammer fist, boom to the head, boom to the head, boom to the head. And my wife is watching this with me, and she goes, oh my gosh, look at his arm, it's backwards. Oh, is he in shock? Why is he still fighting? Does the ref not care? And obviously the ref didn't give a crap. And finally, after about 10 hammer fists to the head with his arm flopping around, the ref jumps in and calls the fight.
Oh.
And then they announce the winner. And they
You know how he grabs wrists, right?
The ref grabs the wrist. He goes to grab the guy's arm.
He was wristless.
Don't do it.
Oh, he tries to grab his arm, and it just kind of, you see this bulge just sticking out of his elbow, and finally the ref's like, oh, never mind, drops his arm, and holds up the winner, and they interview him, and he's like, look, man, the ref's job is to protect us in here, and he didn't. My job is to stop the fight or to end the fight and win. And he goes, when that guy didn't call it after I hurt his arm, I had no choice but to punch him in the head more. And it's like he was saying, like, I didn't want to hit him, but the ref didn't do his job. It was disgusting. It looked like his arm broke in 12 places right at the elbow. And then later in the broadcast, they go, oh, good news. It was just dislocated. They popped it back in.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, talk about bad things with good endings.
You called it, though. Lunch, I believe I saw on Twitter, you said this is the card you want to buy tonight.
Yeah.
I almost considered it, but I passed out way before that.
It was,
so that is why I ended up buying that fight. All because of Lunchbox's, like, this is the card to get.
Yeah, it was so much action. And the Moreno Figueroa, that one was so good the last time they fought that I was like, oh my gosh, like if this lives up to it. And then you have Nate Diaz on the card, just that alone. And then you have Adesanya to cap off the night. I was like, this is going to be incredible because Nate Diaz, all he does is put on good fights.
Lunchbox. I do want to say that Nate Diaz is the UFC should name him something special to the sport. Him and Conor McGregor.
He's a draw.
I mean, there's much more to those guys than just UFC fighters. They're entertainers. Like Nate Diaz is an entertainer. It was fantastic.
Because he bleeds so much, or it's just entertaining to see?
He bleeds, he taunts the opponent, he flicks him off, he turns his back to him and like says, here, look at my butt. You know what I mean? Like he just is an entertainer. He's in there in the crowd, and like when the guy punches him, he's like, no, that's nothing. Like he tells him, like, that sucks.
Or if he gets a good one,
he gives him a thumbs up. Like, okay.
He goes, hey, that was good.
Like he tells him, he's like, he lets him know, hey, you caught me with that one. That was a good shot. Like, and he gives him a thumbs up, like, yep. He's just so entertaining. He is there to put on a show, and he does it every single time. And he's outclassed a lot of the time by some of these fighters, but I'll tell you what, he has a chin that just can take punches. He bleeds a lot, but he does not care.
He's not just a clown, Coach. He almost won that fight with 30 seconds left in the fight.
Right.
And he lost every round out of five. He lost every single round. And the last 30 seconds, he was one punch away from winning that fight.
Oh,
it was unbelievable.
You were saying he had to go for he had to have the knockout because he lost every round.
Yes.
Yes, so he had lost the first four rounds.
So is that why the other dude was so cocky? Because he knew he'd already won it?
Well, he wasn't
really cocky.
He wasn't even that cocky. That dude did not, like, and
I
that's
when he acted like he was crying because he, like, was punching him in the leg. And
that's
like,
a different fight.
Different fight. That's Adesanya.
My bad, guys.
Yeah.
Dang it.
So, Nate Diaz, I mean, this guy, he's fighting Edwards, and he is trying to bait him in, like the announcers are saying. They were like, he is trying to get him to get out of his comfort zone and to do something that he wouldn't do because of all this taunting, and he, like, acts like he's running away, and then he runs at Edwards and tries to punch him. Or he goes.
Right. He would act like, all right, I'm done fighting, put his hands down, and do kind of like a regular I'm walking down the street kind of thing with his back towards him.
With the back towards him.
So this Edwards guy's like, what do I do here?
Can we all come to an agreement? These guys are all, they got a little screw loose.
No.
Yes.
Here. I'm going to tell you this right now.
100%,
Diaz,
Ray.
His brother, the Diaz brothers, they have a lot of screws loose. I have no idea.
It's not just a single one, dude.
No. God. I have no idea what they would be doing without the UFC because they were born to fight. I mean, Nate Diaz, when he talks.
Before the sport was even created.
He doesn't make much sense. I don't know what he's saying, but he just likes to get on the, like, right after the fight, he just told everybody, like, man, what up, mother? You know, like, he's just talking. He's like, yo, I'm having a party at my house, and I get on Instagram. I got the address up there. Come on through.
No, he never put it up.
But.
Guys, do you imagine that, though, with them taking the shots to the head, how much that would suck? And you'd be like, the next day when we have a tough workout, we're very sore the next day. After a tough fight, how can you want to go back and do that 6 months later? I mean, after a fight like that, you would never want to even go in the ring ever again. But these guys are just drawn to it.
Different breed, Coach.
Dude, it has to be the most unbelievable. Eddie, you're sore from walking. Imagine after a football player is sore from a football game. Imagine after taking punches to the face.
Imagine how much they swell up the next day. I mean, their faces had to just be balloons.
This is where Eddie's TV show comes into play, where they go to the house of the fighter, and then you get to be with them for the next 2 months. How are you recovering? What's life like? I mean, you basically just got beat for 10 straight minutes.
No, I want to see Nate Diaz like immediately after he gets off out of the octagon. Like what? Do they stitch him up again, and then he's ready to party?
Yeah, he gets stitched up, and he lights a joint. I bet that's what he does.
That's what the coach.
100%.
How about a documentary that shows that?
But I bet I guarantee you, he doesn't leave the bed for a week. I bet you can't physically.
Yeah.
I mean, he starts his training again, but Tylenol is the start of it. I don't know how intense and strong he'll go, but they're on all sorts of something to not feel that pain because it has to be throbbing.
I am so grateful for the UFC because we talk about, you know, these guys, like what would they be without the UFC? There is a thing in doing all these foster classes and adoption classes that I've been doing. There's
it's
a thing.
Like the UFC?
Coach, when kids come out of homes that are just very dysfunctional and not a lot of love shown to them, they go into a defense mechanism, which makes them want to fight. There's a lot of aggression that they need to get out, and they grow up with all this aggression. And so when you don't have an outlet for that aggression, you do this on the streets. You do this to someone and you get in trouble and you go to prison and that's it. But in the case for a lot of these guys in UFC, like Nate Diaz, like this is an outlet for him. He gets to act all that out, fight all that aggression out in a legal sport.
Yeah.
Like even like football, you got to think a lot of these guys, if they didn't have that sport to hit someone, to get all that aggression out that they built their entire life because of their situation. Without that sport, I mean, they would be in complete trouble. And I think that's amazing.
And what's crazy is the Diaz, he does triathlons. Like
yes,
they were talking about.
I thought that was cool. And he's a vegetarian.
Yeah, they were talking about how his cardio is unbelievable because he can go 5 rounds no problem because he does triathlons for fun in his spare time. Like there's no way he'll ever come on this podcast, but he has to be so.
Way to believe in us, coach.
Come on, coach.
I mean.
I'm sending an email right now.
So, send it to him. I mean, the dude is so incredible to watch. He's so fun. He is just must-see TV, and he puts on a show every time. There's never a boring fight with him because he is there to fight. Like, Ray, he open-hand slapped the dude across the face and then hit him with the left, and that's what stunned him. Like, that's what made him almost buckle. And instead of going right at him when he's, like,
he
going backwards,
he
pointed at him like, yeah, I just got your ass. I just got your ass. And then he just goes up there and starts boom, boom, boom. But he couldn't knock him out in the last 20 seconds that he needed to. Such a good fight.
Dude, I saw he was bleeding all over the place, man.
Yeah, and he said He said he got cut. He has some of the most scar tissue. I mean, he always bleeds. But he said that he got cut in training about a month ago. It really screwed up his training. He's like, man, I was feeling good. It really killed all my momentum. But the blood didn't bother him. Like, blood just going in his eyes. No big deal to him. Didn't care.
Can we talk about Moreno?
You can talk about Moreno.
I mean, gosh, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, I am of Mexican descent. I wasn't born in Mexico. I'm not like, you know, a Mexican pride kind of guy, but I do have a lot of family from Mexico, and that's my heritage. I mean, it was so cool to see the first Mexican UFC fighter win a championship. Like, it was legit. And this kid. And I don't know, Coach, there's no translation, which they should work on that when someone speaks Spanish.
They usually have one but I guess usually he speaks in English when he does it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So,
because he does speak English, but he also said some things in Spanish that was really cool. He was basically just saying like, dude, I'm just some kid from Mexico that had a dream and now I get to live it and I am the champ, you know, because like a big Mexican chant. For years is like si se puede, and like that's also like Cesar Chavez, who was the fought for migrant workers in California back in the 60s, like the big Latino activist, and his chant was si se puede. And but I think as a culture we've always made fun of that chant, like, all right, si se puede, whatever, like I can do it. But he was like, listen here, mother peepers, si se puede is real. Like, we can do it. We can do anything we can. And like that, to me, I started getting a little teary-eyed. It was crazy. Watching UFC, I got a little teary.
Dude, and I saw the replay and being Raymundo and all my stuff with 23andMe. Okay. Coach, it was cool for me too, honestly. I'm there with you, dude.
Oh, my God.
Hey, how much percentage were you Hispanic, right?
A little less than 1% when it came back from 23andMe.
Yeah, there you go.
So what did it mean to you when you woke up on Sunday morning and that you saw one of your brethren had won the title?
Dude, I was basically just like, I started referring to myself around my wife. I was like, Sizzin, CZ Playway, Sizzin, CZ Playway, Sizzin.
See, he's not even saying it right. He said Payway.
And then what did you do to go celebrate,
he's
in
a restaurant.
Coach.
He went to Payway.
No,
he went to have margaritas.
We went and had margaritas. We have a Mexican spot right around the corner. Raymundo.
I got a chimichanga to celebrate.
Coach, chimichanga, hold the chicken. Come on, coach. Come on.
I mean, what's crazy about Moreno is he was cut by the UFC. Like, they said, hey, you're not good enough. Go on down the road. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my. He was in the UFC, wasn't good enough, and worked his ass off. And he dominated on
Saturday. You don't realize, too, how small those dudes are, like Moreno and Figueroa or whatever. They're like tiny little guys.
125 pounds at weigh-in.
125. Ray, what do you weigh?
I'm about 170, but that's your kid's weight, isn't it?
Yeah, dude, that's tiny.
That's what I wrestled at in high school, but it's been many moons since high school.
I mean, it was such – and then the Adesanya fight – he dominated.
Probably the worst fight of the whole card.
Right. Well, yeah. But
just because there wasn't action. I mean, coach, we were spoiled with action.
Spoiled. And the guy he fought just sucked. And then the guy that he fought acting like he won. Like, what was his deal? Like,
the guy that
raised his hand.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
and then,
he didn't win one round.
He didn't win one round. He was delusional. His coach kept telling him, hey, you lost that round. Hey, you lost that round. Hey, you lost that round. And then at beginning the fifth round, he's like, listen, you have 5 minutes or whatever. You got to go out there, and you have 5 minutes to be a champion. You have to knock him out. And he doesn't knock him out. He holds him against the cage and kind of taps him on the leg, and that's when Adesanya is acting like he's hurt. And they hug afterwards, and the guy was like, I beat you. And Adesanya's like, no. Like, I'm trying to show respect, and that's why in his interview, Adesanya's like, He that guy just said he beat me. He thinks he beat me, and I had to tell him, if that's what makes you sleep at night, that's okay. But I was just trying to show respect, because this sport is all about respect, and there's not a lot of respect in the game anymore. And I was trying to show respect, and he honestly thought he beat me. And Joe Rogan was like, well, he clearly didn't do anything close to that. I mean, like, there was no chance he won.
I love when the guy just on his own raises his hand like he won when they're announcing the winner. I think that's pretty funny.
Like, I get it when it's a close fight. When it's a close fight and you have no idea who won, okay, I get it. But that wasn't even close. He didn't win a single round. He was terrible. And he's walking around the ring like, yeah, give me that belt.
But, guys, these guys didn't have one single scratch on him. Five rounds, boys. Five rounds and not one person bled. There wasn't a bump. Nothing. You guys realize that nothing happened in that fight.
No, it was a bad fight. Well, because Adesanya didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have to do anything because he just sat there and leg kicked, punched him a few times. He dominated. Every aspect of it, he dominated, and he was just like, okay.
Yeah, there were leg bruises. That's about it.
That dude could barely walk. I mean, the next day, I bet you his leg, how long? I mean, that just leg kick right above the knee. I mean,
there was one too where I don't know which fight it was, but someone was just like elbowing the butt, you know, like over and over and over. My wife's like, "What's he doing? Like, why is he doing that?" I'm like, "Have you ever been elbowed in the butt?"
That was Moreno, I believe.
Yeah, I'm like, that hurts so bad. Like, there's the strategy to that kind of crap. You elbow someone in the butt 10 times, you're not gonna be able to walk on that hip.
Yeah,
Eddie, reconnect real quick.
Yeah, okay. They had early prelims, and then they had prelims. And, Ray, there's this guy, Terrence McKinney, making his UFC debut. Like, first time, let's go, big stage. And the bell rings and dances around. Boom, 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 boom. Knocks the guy out in seven seconds. He runs around the ring, jumps up on top of the cage, jumps down, and blows out his knee.
He did?
Yep. Immediately grabbed his knee, started limping around, had to sit down on the stool. and he had to be helped out of the cage. He had his arm around two people, and he was limping back to the locker room. I haven't seen an official word, but he was like, oh, I just need to stretch it. I'm like, you don't go down in that much pain grabbing your knee if you just need to stretch your knee.
Dude, that's an intense 30 seconds. He knocks a dude out, jumps on something, smashes his own leg, all in 30 seconds time when we were all just sitting there eating chips and drinking a beer.
Yes, exactly. He's so excited. You finally get to the UFC. You've battled. You finally get there. The big moment. And you shine. You look like an all-star. And now you're probably out 6 to 8 months because you hurt your knee.
Those are the moments. It's sure there's the knockout. There are those moments you prepare for. But if you're an athlete, I saw it with baseball players jumping on each other. There's those moments in excitement where you kind of got to be a little careful. I thought I saw one of the pitchers twist his ankle when they were doing dog pile.
Oh, the dog pile is the dumbest thing you can do.
Stop with the dog pile. I feel like a dude's going to hurt his leg.
Like, I may sound like an old grandpa, but the dog pile has to stop. Like, the few people on the bottom are going to get hurt. Like, when NC State...
Have you guys been part of a dog pile?
Yes.
And it's, yes. Dude, elementary school.
If you're near the bottom, it sucks so bad because you can't breathe for a little bit.
Right. And you're like, all right, hurry up and get off. Get off. Get off. Get off. Get off.
Dude, it's not... It's on TV. Sure, it's fun and excitement. If you actually are part of that dog pile, there's three guys on the bottom that can't breathe for some moments. They have stuff in their face. Another guy's teabagging them. It's not a fun experience.
Hey, and the big shot that wants to jump on the very top once everyone's already piled, like, dude, you're just adding more weight.
And the guy that jumps on the very top, he almost rolls off and then hurts his leg or something like that.
Or he kicks someone in the head with his metal cleat. I mean, it's like, guys.
Oh, and you guys get stepped on with the metal cleats? That's a great point. Yeah,
I mean, I know a couple years ago, someone was celebrating right before they won the Super Regional. I think their second.
Some guy hit me in the
scrotum. The second baseman or something, or shortstop, blew his Achilles in the dog pile.
It makes sense.
Or his ACL, something like that. It's just such a dumb move.
Listen, with Woo Pig and NC State, I didn't even get to touch on that at all, guys, but NC State, when they did the dog pile, I thought the pitcher hurt his wrist.
Right. He tried to stay upright.
And they tackled him down.
They tackled him, and you see his arm just slap the ground.
So I think he was trying to throw off his glove, but hopefully he just got himself under him so he was able to brace it.
Right. I think hopefully he was trying to brace himself because you don't want to land on your shoulder. You don't want to land face down. So but he was trying to get that hand down, and I was like, oh, this is bad. And here they all come piling on. I'm like, stupid. Stop it. But.
Coach.
No, you can't do that, dude. They're not there anymore. They're at home. They ran out of steam. But I want to say I watched that game, and that Arkansas coach, I mean,
I would give up my virginity for him.
No, absolutely
you're
not.
Taking to Aruba?
That Arkansas coach did a disservice to that young man that was pitching yesterday.
That young man.
I called it
before he gave up the home run. You even asked Baser. I said, why is this pitcher in the ninth?
No, not even in the ninth. He shouldn't have been in there in the eighth. He let him throw 118 pitches.
I'll hang up and listen. They said usually he throws like 90.
Right. That
should be illegal.
No, really. Like, I understand you want your team to go to the College World Series, and but your job as a college coach is to win, yes. But you're preparing these guys for a future in Major League Baseball.
Gentlemen.
And you are risking his future for the benefit of you, which is tough. But 118 pitches is unacceptable for that college kid to be throwing.
Most college athletes grow up to do something other than sports.
Okay.
Hi, I'm a doctor, and I played college sports.
Hi, I work at a budget rental car. What's that rental car one? Enterprise. There's a lot of them, like, former college
Most
athletes.
Of us will end up in something other than sports. Hi there, I'm Marcus, and I'm the head manager here at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I was a college athlete. Guys, listen, but yeah, that game was awesome to watch.
It was great.
Watched every pitch with Baser. It was that our boss from the Big Show is a huge Arkansas fan, so I was fascinated to see, do they win? He's super excited. Do they lose? Is he going to be pissed at work? Ended up being normal. It didn't really affect him outwardly. Maybe inwardly he's dealing with some stuff. But what I am fascinated by, truly, in football, the number one seed, damn near always going to be in that championship game or real close. College basketball, typically they're going to make a damn good run. Only in baseball does the number one overall seed not even make the final tournament. I can't say that I like it or not, but I'm like, man, that's completely different than the other two major sports.
How do you not like it? Because is life about all the things that you've done? Like, should you just celebrate because of all the things you've done, or is it more important to carry on the how good you are for as long as you can?
That was deep.
And then when you're done, someone else is going to take that spot, right? That's the case here, boys. Okay, Arkansas, you were number one all year, but if you can't win a super regional, you have no business going to the World Series.
And it tells me, if you're big into college baseball, I wouldn't say a peep to the World Series, because your team may not even make it. They're the number one seed. Like,
right.
I was blown away by that. And I mean, and also what I saw this week, do you guys have anything else on Woo Pig, or can I touch on something else?
No. I think it was, like you're saying about the number one seed, that's the greatness about sports is you can still, like, they blew them out like 21-3, NC State in game one. So you're like, oh, this series over. NC State doesn't even belong on the field with them. And then NC State just, I mean, I don't know. They did it. They won in front of a hostile environment. It was a good series. And that college baseball, and that's any tournament, like the NCAA tournament, the number one seeds, yes, they've been dominant all year, but it just takes one game, one weekend in baseball. You get hot, get a picture, shut them down, boom.
And I got to give college baseball props, man. These stadiums are coming along. They should, but yeah, football has more funding. They have the badass.
Oh, yeah, but they look nice. Yeah.
But baseball, Arkansas Stadium, looking pretty sick. Another one in Starkville. Dude, it almost looks like they have a three-level stadium for a college baseball team.
They're still pretty small, though.
But it's sick looking. Like, those are some dope-ass looking stadiums, I got to say. Like, Starkville, Mississippi State, that was they got spanked. They got whooped. But, I mean, that was a good-looking stadium. Made me kind of want to go to a college baseball game.
Yeah, but Mississippi State, I think they play today. It's 1-1. They were losing big to Notre Dame the game one. Notre Dame blew the lead. Notre Dame crushed them yesterday. And then today it's Mississippi State, Notre Dame to go to the College World Series. Also, Dallas Baptist won game one, lost yesterday to Virginia. So it's 1-1 going into today.
And I don't know if people have really talked about baseball, maybe college baseball. Maybe it's that we're just craving sports again. So this is huge. But I feel like this is the most energy in college baseball that I've seen.
Well, I mean, I think the Super Regionals is where you get the most energy, usually in the College World Series. You don't really – I mean, most people, I would say 99% of people that watch college baseball don't watch it all year until the regional, Super Regional, College World Series. At least that's me. I mean, you're going to have your diehards that do watch it, but not very many people are the diehards of college baseball.
Honestly, boys, like, if we weren't connected to Arkansas through Bobby and all that, like, I mean, would we really be watching?
Well, I watched the Notre Dame, Mississippi State. I've watched some of them, but
it's just one of those things where, like, even when you try to bet it, it's not even on the top page of live sports. Like, it's you have to go search into College World Series, and then you got to go down to events, and then in events you have the two games. Like, it took me 5 minutes to find the bet. That should tell you that a lot of people, I mean, college baseball out of all the college, I mean, the big college sports, is ranked last.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about track and field and all that.
All right,
but
you're talking baseball.
Basketball, all that. Like,
cheerleading.
No, there's only three. It's baseball, football, basketball, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those are the three.
And baseball is dead last.
Oh, yeah.
Dead last. Oh, for sure. I mean, it's definitely football and basketball, and then you catch a baseball game when it's a super regional and it happens to be on TV because they're on all day and it's entertaining.
45 minutes. But I enjoyed watching the college baseball.
It's very entertaining.
I did too. I want to watch Notre Dame and Mississippi State tonight.
Dallas Baptist?
Probably not.
I'm cheering probably not
because I feel like Notre Dame's going to win.
Well, Dallas Baptist is playing Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I want Dallas Baptist to win because I want the small school. I want them to make it to the College World Series.
That'd be cool, but let's be real.
Let's be real what?
I mean, let's be real, Coach. I mean, if they do, cool. They'll go to the College World Series. Probably won't win the whole thing, but
yeah.
It's hard for those teams, Coach, in baseball. It's hard for those small teams to compete with the big schools.
Yeah, but in college football, they're proposing a 12-team playoff now. 12-team playoff. They're going to have 12 teams in the college football playoff. And what it's going to be is the top four conference winners, like the highest rated out of the four major conferences, they get a first-round bye. So Notre Dame could be number one in the country, and since they're not in a conference, they can never have a bye.
They better jump in a conference.
Yes. the good things is it means during the regular season they won't be playing Little Sisters of the Poor. You can lose a couple games and still make the playoff.
He's back with his Little Sisters reference. Love it, Coach.
No, but what I don't like is we don't need 12 teams. We don't need 12 teams. Let's just go look at we had the four teams from since 2014-15, okay? Here are the scores of the games. In 2014, Oregon 59, Florida State 20. Ohio State, Alabama 42-35. Good game. Clemson, Oklahoma the next year, 37-17. Alabama, Michigan State 38-0. Alabama versus Washington the next year, 24-7.
Oh, hold on. My ESPN.com's not
Clemson versus Ohio State, 31-0.
Thank you, Arnold.
2017-2018, Georgia, Oklahoma, 54-48, two OTs. Great game.
Thank you, Coach.
Alabama,
Clemson, 24-6.
He's wanting one of us to stop him, Coach.
Okay, what's your point? I'll be the one. It's on the script. It says, Eddie, stop him.
He's what's the point? Them, dude. With the top four teams, we don't even have close games. So what are we going to watch these top 12 for? I mean, it's going to be blowout city.
You're missing the point.
It's all about the money.
All about the money, mother.
Show me the money. I mean, it's great. So we're all going to feel good. So everybody can go on the recruiting trail like, hey, we made the college football playoff, man. Mm-hmm. Like Yeah, we got beat 56-0, but made the college football playoff.
But the 12th team playoff is going to be better than making a bowl game or winning a bowl game. Because people brag about winning the freaking toilet flush bowl.
Oh, they do. They Idaho Potato Bowl. Oh, yes, yeah. Greg, good Idaho for you. Potato Champion. Yeah,
good for you.
The new one's the Sarasota Scrotum Bowl, boys. It's going to be big this year.
Good for you. You won the Ozarka Water Bowl.
Listen,
good job.
Listen, houses get bigger. Restaurants get bigger. Why can't college football playoff system get bigger? And I'll hang up and listen.
I mean, Coach, let's talk about NBA basketball. I mean, geez, how long do we need to watch a playoff? What are we on, 2 months?
The NBA one might be the longest of them all.
Oh, hockey's pretty long, too.
Coach, this is ridiculous. We've been talking about NBA playoffs for 2 months already.
I mean, they definitely – maybe it's because it's the seven-game series.
It's a seven-game series.
Yeah,
that's why.
That's exactly what it is.
And, I mean – but I
agree with Eddie. Like, they are kind of lengthy.
But we're watching every single game.
But realize this, though. We're still not even close to crowning a champion. We still have another month and a half to go.
I know. Hey, my son was walking around the house yesterday. He's like, all right, who do you have, Dad, winning the whole thing in the NBA? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, no, just play a game. I'm like, I literally can't tell you because I don't know. Like, it could be anyone at this point. Who freaking knows?
I wonder who the favorite is.
Probably Phoenix.
No, Phoenix is not the favorite. It's still probably the Nets.
I mean, Kyrie's hurt.
It's the Nets, but barely.
Barely.
I mean,
how bad is he hurt?
That's what we're all waiting to find out. Harden's coming back. I want to know if Kyrie's okay. Otherwise, the Nets
well,
might
love
be
the. I love the bottom line is, hey, James Harden is closer to a return. Well, no crap, he's closer to returning. Because
he's not further away.
Right, he's not further away. It's not like it's been, you know, like, oh, wait.
That's funny, Coach.
He hurt himself 2 weeks ago. So, yes, he's closer to returning than he was 2 weeks ago.
I'm closer to my dinner. Damn right I am.
We are one day closer to death, boys.
We are. Oh, my God. Put it on the bottom line. Breaking news.
I mean, Coach, that's journalism 101. Tease their ass.
It's hilarious, but... One thing is, I thought the Bucks were dead in that series. The Nets went up 2-0, and I thought the Bucks had no shot. They looked terrible. They couldn't do anything. And all of a sudden, it's 2-2, and I'm like, well, goddamn, do the Nets just – what happened? How did the Bucks flip the script?
Well, they flipped it because Kyrie went out, and Harden's been out the whole series since game one.
Right, but they were dominant in the first two games, and Giannis has really dominated in the paint the last two games. And I was just like, oh, wow, okay, that's...
Well, Coach, you watch the NBA during the season, that's what it is, every single game. One game's like, oh, they can't shoot, where the crap. Next game, shoot, lights out. Oh, great, okay.
And
out of the paint.
I swear to God, sometimes you watch these games, I was just watching it as a fan, and it almost seems like Nets are like, oh, they're content tying it 2-2. They're content just to be in an even series. All right, cool, we'll take it back to Brooklyn and win there.
Well, then I
that's
watch...
That's true, they do look like that. That body language totally looks like that.
Dude, the body language totally says, like, we don't have to win this game. You realize it's a seven-game series, we're good.
it's probably recommended by the NBA.
Here we go into Eddie and the recommended by the NBA.
Don't get heartbroken. It's okay. Lose a couple here and there. We'll make more money. I'll give you some money.
The Bucks can't win that series. I mean, the Bucks are not a good team. They just can't win that series, dude. that like Brooklyn is so much better. That,
but they're not. See, here's the problem.
Because
they're
Kyrie
not
went out. It went out because Kyrie. They're based on that. They're a big three. Big three will win the championship. If Kyrie's done, Harden's done, they ain't going to win the championship. But three powerful players on the court, there ain't nobody that can stop them. Not even the team that Phoenix has. And they're playing team ball right now. They're the team of the team.
Team ball.
If there's a team that everybody scores 15 points, it's the Suns. And I mean, yeah. So right. We'll see. Is a team going to win a championship or is a big three?
The team always wins, boys.
No, big three.
Listen, the Suns are fun to watch. They space it out and they move the ball.
Spank that.
Hey, they pass the rock around, right, Coach, like they say?
No, they do pass the rock.
That's what they say on 2K, Coach. I don't know.
They cut off the ball.
No cap,
Chris
Coach.
Paul, I mean, makes – let me tell you, Chris Paul, as good as he is, he might be underrated. Every team he goes to, he makes them so much better. So, even though I hate the guy, but he makes every
like
team
– commercials.
His commercials are kind of funny. Yeah. He makes them so much better. He is really good. But yeah, the NBA, I don't know. The Bucks, I thought they were dead in the water, and all of a sudden it's tied 2-2.
All right, I'll tell my son when I get home. What's your pick, Coach?
Yeah, I want to know Lunch's pick. I don't even want to know my own, but I'm curious about his.
I don't have one. My son got so pissed at me. He's like, pick one, Dad. I'm like, I can't. I literally can't pick one. I have no idea.
See, I go back and forth because I love the Jazz, but I don't know. Donovan Mitchell's ankle keeps acting up. They can't win it without Donovan Mitchell because he's a stud. So I will – God, can the Suns really do it? That's my – and I think
Do you believe? I do. I think Ray put it really well. Team ball or individual big three ball?
About to find out.
But the Jazz have good team ball too. The Jazz are a good team. But
okay, so you're just taking Brooklyn out of this.
Yeah, I think it's whoever comes out of the West is going to win. I think the West is tougher.
The West is the best.
And I still think the 76ers.
It's just as fine as you're being a 49.
I think the 76ers can beat Brooklyn.
What?
So I don't even know that Brooklyn is going to go to the championship. I think the 76ers pose a lot of problems for Brooklyn, but I mean. That's the NBA I'm just not very good at. So I'll say it's going to be the 76ers versus
Coach, don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, he's in pain right now trying to pick this. Coach,
give me the Jazz. I think it's going to
be. The Jazz.
So you think the Jazz are going to beat the Clippers, then they're going to beat Phoenix?
Yeah, I think Rudy Gobert can defend against Ayton. Ayton gives a lot of people problems because he can move outside the paint. He's a big man that can shoot, roll on the pick and roll. But I think Gobert, defensively, the defensive player of the year, can actually move with Ayton. And so that gives them a lot of – I think that gives Ayton's problems if they match up.
That's with the Clippers.
I mean, the Clippers.
We thought they were going to be better.
Well, they can still win. That's what I'm saying. They fell down 2-0.
That's why I'm telling my son I have no clue.
They fell down 2-0 to the Mavericks. And I was like, they're done. They're sucked. They that whole experiment with Paul George, Kawhi, what a bust. And then they go on and beat the Mavericks. Now they fall down 2-0 to the Jazz, and they win the next game. And I'm like, okay, here we go. This is what the Clippers are going to do, just going to make us think, oh, they suck, and then fall down 2-0 every series and come back and win. But that takes a lot of energy, and it gets exhausting. So we'll find out. I don't know.
Hey, but it's got us talking, so there must be enough star power. And
yeah, you're right. There is interest because I'm
here
interested.
We are talking about it, boys.
What do you know?
I don't know how you can beat the big three. It's all about Kyrie. I mean, we'll find out with that ankle. If he's back, Harden is closer, whatever that means, Coach.
You see, that's the problem. You can't trust Harden because, listen, Harden has had a hamstring problem all year. It's crazy how he shows up fat and out of shape and forces his way out of Houston and tries to hurry his way into shape, and
Coach,
he's had hamstring problems all year long.
Don't fat shame him, Coach. Don't fat shame him.
Did you see pictures of him in Houston?
I think that was a joke. I think he wore like a pillow or something.
Yeah, Coach, like the Zeke Elliott pictures that came out. That was all a joke.
People were saying that he finessed everybody, Coach.
Well, whatever. He was out of shape and he looked terrible. And if it's a joke, then it's a joke. But he's had hamstring problems all year. Why? Because he wasn't working himself into shape down in Houston. Wanted out, got out, got to Brooklyn. A little colder up there, didn't stretch as much. Pulled a hammy, and the hammy's been bothering him ever since.
Oh, here's a question I just saw.
Yeah.
Who's going to make the Madden 22 cover? Brady or Mahomes?
Well, ask brother.
I think it'd probably be Brady because Mahomes was the cover last year, right?
Yeah, and Brady won the Super Bowl. But I don't really know. It could be who else? I mean, I don't play
Roethlisberger coach. Come on.
No, it's
who else can it be?
Yeah, Dirty Berg, dude.
It's not Roethlisberger.
Hey, Dak. Could be Dak.
Might be Julio.
It could be. No, that wouldn't sell video games. Josh Allen. No, not that people love him.
Hey, it could be Derek the King Henry.
No.
Why not?
Sell a lot in Nashville, Walmart.
Yeah. I don't think.
Hey, why don't they do that, though? Like, really, why don't they just separate it? Like,
dude,
all right,
sort of
New
like
York.
Sports Illustrated. That's what Sports Illustrated does. Like, when it's NFL preview, they put certain covers for certain sections of the country.
They should do
that's
that.
That's genius.
Dude, if Twitter didn't exist and Instagram, they could totally trick us and do that. We're all like, oh, my gosh, D. Henry with the cover. Then you go visit your cousin in California. You're like, what? I didn't know. What is it, Goff out there?
Yeah, Goff is the cover.
Coach, I didn't know Goff was the cover.
You go to Vegas, they got Derek Carr on the cover? What?
What about Deshaun Watson on the cover?
He's got to find a team
off all
first,
covers.
Right?
Yeah, he doesn't like the covers.
I mean, they couldn't even put it.
You're an idiot, Coach.
Oh, man.
He likes the covers off.
Yeah. Hey, that's what got him in trouble in the first place, allegedly.
Okay.
Come on.
Hey, Eddie. Right. Now, it's Monday.
Monday.
Do you have an update?
Oh, crap, guys. I forgot to tell you. Okay, so. Yeah. Okay, so how do I say this without giving too much? So basically, my brother-in-law is a FBI. He's a FBI agent.
Okay.
And you've already said a lot, but continue. And there was a big, big bust that was about to go down. And I think it's amazing because I was talking to him. He's like, oh, yeah, it's going down this day or whatever. And we're talking agencies from all over the country flying
in. First of all, I can't believe he tells you this before it goes down. I know. Okay.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, dude, what if I was in with these guys? Like, you would have no clue. Almost like Breaking Bad.
Oh, he would know. You know? He already knows because he knows who's in with them because they're about to bust all these fools.
Yeah, but you know how in Breaking Bad, Hank was talking to,
spoiler.
What's his name?
Yeah, no. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Anyway.
Guys, that's a reference from The Big Show.
There was an area in town that, like, these criminals had infiltrated this area. Like, apartment complex / neighborhood, all were involved in this crime spree. Like, I'm talking from murders to drug deals to a hub of drugs. Like, this is where they would haul all the drugs in for this city and, like, distribute. So they had done all this recon, and they're like, all right, this is the spot. We're all going to attack it on one day, and this is how we're going to do it. And, dude, he was telling me all these details. This is what I was trying to tell you guys without giving information out. So the day came and went. He goes in, and I keep texting his wife, and I'm like, have you heard back from him? It's 8 in the morning. No, like they went in at 5 in the morning and it's 8 and I haven't heard from him at all. I'm like, oh crap. Like, okay, well, I hope he's all right. She's like, he usually texts like right away because this stuff doesn't take that long. 9 a.m. Anything? No, zero. Oh crap. 10 a.m. Okay, he just texted. Everything's good. Everyone's okay. However, man, they didn't get everyone they wanted.
No, they only arrested 10 people.
You saw it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. 10 people.
They only arrested 10 people. They were expecting like so much.
Wow.
So I don't know, man. Maybe it's because he told me and I told you guys. Maybe you guys told some other guys. And,
yeah,
you know,
each apartment. Coach. These were apartments where no one lived. They were used as traps, with each trap selling
a
different kind of drug.
For a bunch
such
of
as cocaine,
and
heroin, and meth.
These guys... I mean, how do you... Okay, hold on. Ray, say it's your apartment complex, right?
Oh, Coach, do not speak of my place like that.
I'm just... Example. Okay. It's your apartment complex.
For example purposes only, thank you.
You know the management there, right?
Yes, Coach.
What do you think the management would do if somebody came in and said, I'd like to rent all of these apartments? Like, what happens there?
They'd be like, trash comes on Mondays. Enjoy.
All right. Thank you. Don't forget, rent's due them first.
Coach.
Like, these guys rented the entire apartment complex and then paid off everyone around there and said, hey, this is what we're doing. Eyes out. If you see anything suspicious, let us know.
Eyes out. I like that, Coach.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, there's video coverage of it right now. I'm looking at the video.
It's live.
You
are looking live.
You
want to
know who was arrested? Slick Deck Fat Boy, they got, or Big Homie.
They got Slick Dick.
They got Boulevard.
He did tell me that they were looking for Big Homie, so good.
They got Big Homie. They got Shun. They got Coogie.
Oh, they got Coogie?
They got Coogie, man.
Dude, I heard it'd be tough for him to get Slick Dick, but they finally nailed him down. He'd been on the run probably for a while.
Slick Dick. Hey, I'm glad to know that these guys still have nicknames like the old gangsters. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, Boulevard, what a name. Hey, what's your name? Boulevard?
Boulevard, like the street?
Yeah, that's how it's spelled.
That's kind of cool.
That's kind of weak. Oh,
yeah, man. So I get, apparently they really don't like to chill all in the same place at one spot just in case the feds are going to break in.
Yeah, it's sort of like the president and vice president.
Right. So Big Pokey was somewhere else.
Kind of like us. That's why we do it on different rooms. Lunch is in the studio. I'm inside studio. Eddie's at Bones' house.
Well, Coach, it's almost why you didn't go to Mike D's wedding, because you wanted to have
good call.
I said it, but I was laughed at, so then I ended up flying to it, and look what happened. Debauchery.
No, it was a great
madness
wedding.
Madness ensued.
It's all our fault. Coach, I did see, though, that somebody who wasn't one of our listeners was saying that it would be a great business model, Coach.
I know, Coach, but a lot of these people just talk. I mean, is somebody really going to pay fat cash for you to come to their wedding? I don't know.
Yeah, because they'd have to pay for flights, hotels,
food and board.
Drinks,
me,
Coach.
And
drinks.
Coach, it ends up being a pretty high expense for you to possibly push mom onto the dance floor.
When it's wedding time, no expense is a bad expense. Everybody spends money on a wedding. They will find room for you at Ray and Bay.
That's why I've considered to try a different career. Weddings is where the bread is.
No, I wasn't thinking that. I wouldn't.
Well, you should, Coach. You should do one of those like I'll guess your age booth.
He just offends and pisses everybody off. Hey, who decided to get the age guesser guy? He pissed everybody off.
All right. Well, big day tomorrow.
What's tomorrow, Coach?
I take my first golf lesson.
Oh, no.
Coach, that's...
No.
Hey,
yep, I did it. I put this
on a shirt. People with money spend their money on the dumbest things, and you can start to tell when they start spending it on dumb things.
No, I don't think that's
Coach,
a dumb thing.
This hurts my heart.
Coach,
this hurts
my
heart.
Why?
No, put it in your kid's savings account.
Why does it hurt your heart?
God.
Because you finally realize how much you suck at golf, that you, at age, what? How old are you?
39,
you're going to take your first lesson.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, my heart hurts for you.
I know, my heart hurts for the guy training him.
No, here's the thing.
Hey, the guy training. All right, okay, go ahead, let's start. Touch your shoulders. I can't. What? Just grab your fingers and touch your shoulders. I'm not able to. It's a birth defect.
Okay. Here's the deal. I was able to shoot in the 80s for a while.
Wow, Tiger.
Okay, teenager.
No, this was when we were living here. First few years we lived here, because I could play
quite a bit. McCabe, Coach.
No,
okay,
I wasn't playing
Rom.
McCabe. And
Coach, he's got Corona.
But I had to play perfect to shoot a par. Like, it had to be unbelievable. It had to be one putt. I had to chip it up, one putt, because I wasn't getting a lot of green in regulations. I just don't hit the ball very far. And at the last 3 or 4 months, I have gotten so much worse that I can't even break 100 now.
I've gotten progressively worse.
I can't break 100 now. And I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I just can't hit it.
You ever heard of swing lube?
No, I tried swing lube. I tried everything.
What is that, Coach?
I tried boob lube. I tried it all. It just, the ball would not go.
Because the club was slipping out of your hands. Are you using lube?
And so I was just like, you know what? Like, if I'm going to keep playing this, if I'm going to keep playing this game, I've just got to take lessons, because I've just fallen apart.
Okay, as someone that plays with you a lot, can I give you a couple of things that you can take to the table when you meet with this guy?
Is it for free, Coach?
No. I don't have the solution. I'm just telling you that there are a couple of things that I think that you need to focus on more than other things.
Hitting the ball.
No.
Oh.
No. Not that generically.
You're able
to hit the ball.
My irons.
No. Number one, I think that you need to ask him how you can get more distance off your driver. Because.
Right. No, that's one of them.
You're already starting with a handicap.
Right.
Off the tee box, you can get it past 150 yards. That's a problem.
Right. And that's the problem. If I'm 220 or 230 out every time after the drive, you're not going to score, because you can't. Your next shot is going to be short of the green.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You want to hit the target. You want to get to your driver being about over 200 yards.
Right. You want it to be about 150 in after, or yes. you know, yes. hopefully after on your second
cane.
Shot.
Coach, aim for yes. the candy cane.
And that's where I struggle. I can't do that.
Okay, so and, that's and the I first one.
I got to learn how to hit my three wood again because all of a sudden I can't.
No,
hit.
No. Listen,
it's going straight coach, left.
Coach, listen. If he can teach you how to get that driver going over 200 yards, you're not going to need your three wood anymore.
Oh, okay. I'll throw it away.
Okay, so focus on the driver. You
give
need
it to
get,
me, coach, before you throw it away.
All right, I'll put it in your car.
Thank you.
You need to get some distance out of your driver. That's the first thing you need to tell him. Like, dude, please help me focus on this. I need to do this. Number two, your head's messed up.
Coach, you can't fix that.
I mean, coach, you're mentally unstable
coach,
on the golf course.
This session he's about to pay for, he ain't helping the head. He's helping all the other stuff, coach. That,
well, I'm telling you right now, your second biggest problem is your head's messed up. So if he can help you with that, coach, that's great. Pay him all the money you want.
I'm mentally not ready to play the game. I need your help.
Because if you have one bad shot, coach, you ruin the entire hole and some of the next hole as well.
No.
Yes,
I've gotten
yes.
better. I've gotten better. Now it's if I have like four bad shots in a row, then I get frustrated.
Yeah.
One, I'm like, okay, that's all right. It happens because I'm not supposed to be perfect. But when I have four in a row, it's just like, what the am I doing? So
well, usually the four in the row comes from the bad first one, and then the second one, and then it's a domino effect. But anyway, coach, tell him all that, and hopefully help you out.
that's all.
I mean, other than that, coach, you can work on the other things slowly, but these are the two most critical things.
But the good news is that the one thing I don't need help with is putting. He's going to ask me, oh, you need help putting? No, don't worry about that.
Nah, we'll skip that one.
Yeah, don't worry about that. My bent putter is good to go.
Yep.
It's all good.
Boys, it's funny that you're talking about golfing because I just randomly had a wild hair up my ass on Friday. I said, I want to play a little golf. So I went and walked on, did a little nine.
Boys, by yourself?
Coach, it's the best time to go.
Hey, let me see.
I agree.
Eddie, let me check my phone.
Yeah, me too, coach. I went Friday by myself.
Coach, what if I saw you on the course? Hey, I'm going to pair you up with a guy named Eddie.
Eddie? Susan?
Hey, Ray, what's funny? Hey, here's a funny story, Ray.
This is funny.
I went and played by myself a couple months ago, and I texted Eddie, and I said, hey, Richard says hi. And he's like, who's Richard?
Who the f- is Richard?
I'm like, yeah, you got paired up with him last Friday at Two Rivers. And he was like, oh, my God, that dude, what up? Tell him I said
Richard and his dad, man.
Richard and his dad. I got paired up with him a week later at a different course, totally random.
Wow.
But what did he say or what did you say that made him say, hey, wait a minute?
Oh, he said, oh, where are you from here? I said, no, I'm from Austin. He goes, man, I just played with a guy from Austin last Friday. And I was like, oh, yeah, what was his name? He goes, Eddie. I said, oh, I know Eddie. I work with him. He goes, oh, come on. And that was,
that's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
That's right. a small world.
But Ray, how many holes did you play on Friday?
Played nine, guys.
What in the world?
You can laugh your asses off if you want.
Hey, your boy played 25.
You didn't?
Coach, I don't know what was wrong with me.
That's
my family was out of town. I walked 18, and then it was probably about an hour before getting dark, and the course was emptied out. The office was closed, so I was like, well, let me just start another nine then.
Not
and I just kept
that.
Walking.
Coach, you got your
I just kept walking.
Worth.
It was fantastic.
How'd you shoot?
I mean, after the 18 round, I didn't keep score anymore, but I mean, I was playing three balls at a time, that kind of thing. But the 18, I shot a 91. Not great.
Oh,
coach,
man.
I played the club. The club, it just swallows me.
Yeah, I didn't shoot that this week.
What'd you shoot?
Let me see where I went. I think I shot a 10-something, 105, 104.
Oh, coach.
That's when I made the phone call to the lesson guy.
I mean,
hey, who's your guy, coach?
I don't know his name.
What is it, Brad? Well,
where'd you find him?
I hit him up on Twitter and tried to get free, but it didn't work.
Is it Sned?
Snedeker?
Yeah.
You getting lessons from Schneddy?
I shot a 104. 104. My handicap went up again.
Coach, at least trim off a couple to put it at 99.
No, I don't lie.
Coach, use that little foot wedge.
There we go.
You know, get
104, 99. Here are my last few rounds. 104, 99, 100,
coach,
97, 101, 105, 101, 108, 104, 102, 102, 112. God bless.
Coach, some of those scores, do not even record them down, coach.
Yeah, oh. Coach. You should do a triple max or something.
No, I'm not 12. I don't need to do triple max. I need to do my real score. We are adults. We are human.
Well,
I think at a certain age, you got to stop with the, double max, triple max. No, you're an adult.
There is one guy that I've been playing with recently, and he just cheats, and we don't know why. Like, we're not competing. We're just literally keeping score just for fun, and he always shaves a stroke or two off. And we're like, okay, we'll write it down.
See, that's why I don't get the golf thing. Why don't you call somebody out on that?
Because you're not playing for money. So.
Because we're not playing for anything. That's just his score. If he wants to lie and say he got a 90.
Well, just call, hey, next time, what's his name?
Huh?
Make him, what's a fake name for him?
Jimmy.
Jimmy. Next time, just call him Patrick.
Huh?
Patrick Reed.
Hey.
Why does he cheat?
Oh, my God, dude. Are you serious?
I don't know. How does he cheat?
I think he was called out for that in high
school. Yeah, no, he was
like
called out for it. Like on the, he took a drop before they were, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I couldn't, my ball was embedded or whatever. And someone's like, you know, you don't remember this a couple months ago, but
no, I don't remember.
Never
that.
Mind. I think it was Patrick Reed. I hope it was Patrick Reed. But anyway, all right, before we go, I got to read this email. Email us, wearethesorelosers@gmail.com. Hey, coaches, with it being Pride Month and all, my brother came out to us and we are so proud. He is a huge fan and day one listener and would love a shout out and could really use all the support. Cade Harrison is his name. It would mean the world to him. You guys are his favorite people in the world. Thanks, guys. Best, Jake. So, Cade, congratulations,
shout
dude.
Shout out, Cade.
Congrats, Cade.
Congrats to the entire LGBTQIA community.
This isn't congrats to all them.
No,
it's
no,
congrats
it's just,
to Cade.
It's just, it's all about Cade. I mean, that's yes. what it's about. We're it's all about Cade right now. It's Cade's moment.
This is about so, Cade.
Yeah, it's all about Cade. So congrats, Cade. I don't know. Your family's proud. We're proud. We're happy for you. You know, that's all we care about. And we're just glad you're a day one listener. If you were a day two listener, we wouldn't have read the email.
What does that mean? He's only listened to one day?
No, no. He's listened from the first episode, like the
day
we started.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So he's a day one listener. Like I said, if it would have said day two listener, we wouldn't have read it. But, Cade, congratulations, man.
Hey, happy to bring guys together. If we can in the future, you let us know if you want to call in.
What the crap? What's he saying?
I don't know.
I don't know. Were they both fans of the show or something?
Well, yeah. Cade is the – Jake is his brother, and Jake's the one that sent the email saying, hey, how my brother
he's
came
proud.
Out.
He's proud of him.
Love it.
And he would love a shout-out on the podcast. And he said we're his favorite people in the world. I don't know if Jake listens, but I know, obviously Cade does, so congratulations.
Well, I think
Cade.
Jake listens too because you obviously found an email.
Well, if Cade talks about us enough, you know, as his favorite people, then maybe Jake went on there and found us. I don't know, but maybe Jake listens too. But who cares about Jake? It's all about Cade. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about Cade.
Yeah.
So today is National Cade Day.
Yeah.
So, all right. Happy Monday. Happy Pride Month, Cade.
Is it Pride Month?
Hey, coaches, with it being Pride Month and all, my brother came out to us and we are so proud. Yes,
wait, June wait, what did you just say?
Hey, coaches, with it being Pride Month and all, my brother came out
to us. Is it Pride Month?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. That is why Jake emailed in about Cade, his brother, who came out and was proud of him because it is Pride Month and he's super proud, wanted to get him a shout out on the pod.
So this month?
This month, right now, is Pride Month.
Hey, look at that.
So, yes.
Pride. Eddie, see, you're doing your walk. People may confuse that for Pride Month.
Hey, whatever, dude. I'll walk for whatever anybody wants me to walk for.
That's right.
I love it, dude.
All right.
Thanks, dude.
Happy Monday.
Hey, but you guys want to walk with me today? I'm going to do like 10 miles today.
I was thinking about it.
You want to?
Yeah, just walk over to my house.
And then you walk back with me?
No, I'll just walk down the street and then send you on your way.
Coach, why don't you walk to the dental's office and get you some floss and then head back home?
Yeah, Coach, oh, yeah, that's what you could. You could walk to the dental office.
Hey, wait a second.
Take a dip in the water, and then
but you got to time it right, though. If you're a minute before 3 p.m., the dental office isn't open. It opens. It's a late-arriving crowd. 3 p.m., there's nothing but floss.
Hey, hold on, Coach. I might walk to your place today.
Okay, Coach.
Jump in the pool if you bring me back home.
Coach, you got to have a guest pass. You got a couple bucks?
Oh.
Yeah, Coach.
Yeah, Coach. It's basically like rehab pool. It might be a little tamer today, but I mean, 3 p.m. on, there's always at least a couple clients there to get their teeth looked at the dental office.
Okay.
All right. Have a great Monday. Eddie, your FBI story did not live up to what we were expecting.
Well, Coach, it was a bust.
No, the story and the story, literally and figuratively, Coast.
It was a bust in both. Both
Sorry,
situations.
Guys.
That's all right.
It was supposed to be better, guys.
That's all right.
Oh, crap.
What?
Wow, Coach. My house to your house.
Okay.
Is 14 miles.
It's a little too much, Coach.
No, you're going to be doing 20 a day.
No, I mean, that's what I need. I'm doing 20 a day.
Oh, but then how would you get back to your house? You're saying
you would have to bring me.
Okay, see, I knew that was factored into that.
You would have to bring me back to your house.
Coach, I'm not bringing you back wet in the blazer, Coach.
Oh, because the blazer can't take any more damage.
Yeah, all that, the leather seats.
I mean, geez, it's in mint condition.
Hey, Coach, I probably shouldn't be walking around your neighborhood, though, huh?
Why?
I've seen some of the people that hang around there.
Coach, doesn't mean they're not good people because they live in tents, Coach.
Okay, Coach.
Because they live in tents. All right. Have a good Monday.
You're an idiot. All right, goodbye, everyone. Good people.